to continue our series on the name of Jesus. We talked in the first week, we considered that passage that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. We talked about that the name of Christ, that Christ is above all. And the idea of that name of Jesus is a powerful name is important for us to understand, but not as a magic incantation that we attach on the ends of our prayers. But the idea of living in the name of Jesus is a continual thing that we as Christians do. We're living under the auspices and the authority of that King whose name is over us. We're living for something greater and bigger than ourselves. So we experience authority, we said. We experience power. And we also experience God's peace under the name of Jesus. As we place that name over every allegiance in our life, God begins to order our life and draw things together so that we experience these things. But then the last time we were together, we talked about how we are commanded to go in the name of Jesus. We not only live in his name, but we go in his name to other people. And Paul calls us, he kind of gives a word for that. He says, we're ambassadors of this King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We exist in this world as his agents from his kingdom to proclaim his name, his message, and to make his principles prevail upon the earth. And we're therefore his representatives. But then the question is, this week we're going to deal with this question. So how does that happen? How can we are finite, you know, we are mortal, we're fallen, we're sinful, sometimes frightened by the things we see in this world. Sometimes we want to present Christ to others. We want to show God to people who God is in our lives and for their sake, but we feel inadequate. We want to represent God and his holiness, God and his loveliness, God and his salvation to the whole world. And we know that's the call. Jesus says, go into the world and to all the nations and excuse me, baptize in his name, make disciples in his name, teach in his name. And I think the part of our issue is we think about that, the whole world. Last week we began to consider that question, what does that mean for you and I? And so we need to stop when we think about the world as an abstract and understand that you are an ambassador to Christ, to your family, to your neighbors, to your co-workers, the people you actually have faces and names for in your life. This is the beginning of that world. Of course, are we involved in missions? Absolutely. Do we go beyond our local region? Of course. But there is a mission that we are doing here and now. And that's the question, is instead of thinking that, you know, there's no way little old me can make a difference worldwide, the difference that you are making is considerable and life-changing for the people that you encounter. So how does that work? How are you going to do this task? How are you going to be an ambassador of Christ? How do we do this work together? Well, I want to just lay out a few things that we see here in the words of Jesus that Ken read from John. Was it 14 there? Yeah. And so one of the verses that stands out is that verse 16 and 17, he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. That's how he begins. And then he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So understand you're not on your own. To be with you, how long, church? What's it say there? Do you have your Bibles out? How long? Forever. What does forever mean, church? Forever means forever, right. I mean, you know, does that mean when you're at your workplace and things get a little rowdy, does it mean that God's going to be with you, the helper's going to be with you there, yes or no? Yeah. Does that mean when you're driving down the road and someone does something you don't like on the road and something starts to come out of your mouth, is the helper with you then? Yes, yes or no? Yes. Will he help you get over that habit? Yes. The question is, do you want him to? That's the real question. Yeah, we understand the helper is there. God says that he is with us. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. We profess that today. Let's say it together. The Holy Spirit is God. God himself in you and with you. You go in the presence of God. God is with you. You are not alone in this mission. He even says that, I'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him or knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be what? In you. So is God with you? Yes or no? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've trusted Jesus for your salvation and made him your Savior and Lord, absolutely, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit is in you. God himself with you and in you. And so as I love God, and the Bible said, Jesus says, you know, you will love me. And the reason, the way we love him is we obey him, right? That's what love means when we obey God. We love God by obeying him, and therefore he dwells with us. Or really, he doesn't join us. We join him in the work he's already doing around you. See, that's the challenge in you and I's life. If we want to be good testimony and good servants of Christ, and we want to share God's love with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers, with people we engage in the community, in the marketplace, if we want to be those kind of people, we need to understand God's already at work in their lives. Do you believe that, church? Do you know that that's true? God is already wanting to draw them to himself. God loves them deeper than you any love you and I could ever conjure for them. And so when we go in his name, we need to trust that God loves those people more than we ever could, even your own family members. And so, do you think if God loves them, do you think he wants them to be saved? Yes or no? Yes. So, whose side are you joining in this fight for someone's soul? You're joining the Lord's side. You're joining his side, his work, his grace, his power. And so, God is dwelling with you, in you as a helper. So, how do I follow him? How, if God wants to lead me in my life, what am I supposed to do? Well, let's look. He says, because we go guided by his Spirit. We go guided by the Spirit of God. Romans says it this way, for those who are, what's it say there next?
Led.
Everybody say led. Led. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. And then in Galatians he says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So let's think about that first one. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the ones who are the children of God. Are you led by the Spirit of God? Or do you ask God to follow you around and pick up the pieces? Those are the options, church, as a believer, right? Yes or no? Yeah, those are your options. You can either be led by the Spirit of God, or you can beg God to pick up the pieces of your life as you try to lead yourself through this life and make good decisions and make good choices and fail every time. Because you know that's true. That's how it's worked, hasn't it? You've had good intentions. You've had good desires. You've tried to do the right thing, the good thing. You've tried to stand on doctrine or everything you know in your head. And it hasn't worked. God offers a different alternative to those who follow him. He wants to guide you himself. He wants to lead you himself. And so this gets to the issue of leadings in your life. Have you heard, have you felt the Holy Spirit's leadings in your life? What God assures us, and what you will encounter if you haven't already, is there are moments in your life where you will notice something, you will feel something, you will sense something as you're going through your life. You will have an encounter and you will say, I could do something here. I hear, there's a need. The question is, are you going to follow that leading on your heart from God? Or are you going to ignore it and push through and go back to your agenda and ignore what you see with your own eyes, what you hear with your own ears? You know, God says he will draw people to himself. The question is, are you looking for the people he's drawing? Bible says that no one seeks God unless the Holy Spirit leads him. Are you paying attention to the people in your life that seem to be wrestling with spiritual issues, that seem to be seeking God, seem to be asking hard questions? Are you paying attention to those things that are happening around you? Because that is where God is moving in your life. He's leading you. He puts you in that situation, in that relationship, in that circumstance, to be led by him to reach out in his name and minister in his name. Those leadings happen all the time around us. There's times, no doubt, you've seen in your life You've seen somebody in need and you say something, you're missing. You notice it and you think, oh, I could do this. But then you ignore that feeling and you say, well, I hope this gets taken care of. I hope God hears these prayers. I hope someone does something. I hope, I wish. When you know yourself that you could make a difference in that life, you could say the kind words. You could give the encouragement. You could lift people up yourself. Don't wait for someone else. You will sense these moments and these opportunities throughout your life if you are a servant of God. If you truly love the one you claim that you love, He will not leave you orphaned. He says He's going to come and help you with this task. He's going to point it out. He will be willing to lead you. He will be your shepherd in your life. Too often we say we want a shepherd, but we aren't willing to follow that shepherd when he shows up. Is that true? Or am I lying, church, to you today? Or am I? Is it true? Yes or no?
Yes.
It's true. Some of us think with great regret over times we could have made a difference in someone's life. Not only someone we know, but sometimes even strangers will see a need that we could meet. We'd see a need that we could attend to. Hope that's not my phone. That's all right. So I worried my phone's over there, and I know I didn't turn off the ringer today, so I was embarrassed. You might want to answer. It might be a need. You might be if you need to go out there. Anyway. You know, those. It's funny. We joke about that, but could the Holy Spirit do something like that? Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely. There's phones that come. You know, there's phone calls that come across. I'm like, oh, what now? I remember, it's funny, you know, when I think about these preaching, and it's always God brings things to mind. I remember it was around this time last year. It was snowy and nasty. It was the first of the month. I was going up to do Highland View, I think I was just going to visit that day, and I had an appointment to meet. I knew who it was. I was going up there, and there was a woman in the Highland View parking lot with kind of a odd-looking shopping cart. Not like a full shopping cart, but kind of a like a chair kind of seat thing that she was pushing, and everything was piled up on top of it, and it was cold out. Bitter. You know, and I thought, you know, I mentioned, are you okay? She goes, oh, I'm going to talk to some people here. And I'm like, okay. And I thought, man, well, I hope, you know, I'm going to be out in a little while. You know, I'm visiting. I'll be maybe, you know, a half hour, depending on the person. And what they need, but you know, if you need some help, just, you know, I'll help you. And you know, I went in and I thought, I hope somebody helps her. You know, I hope she finds what she's looking for. And then, as I was with this other person, for some reason, it just wouldn't leave my mind. This woman. You ever had that, something that sticks in your head? Who do you think that is that keeps bringing that up to you, that won't let you forget it? Who do you think that is, church? Remember that day. So, I went out, and of course, she was gone. So I got in the truck, I think, that day. And I was driving down you know, the road, you know, coming from Highland View, real steep, coming down here. And there she was on the side of the road, kind of, you know, she couldn't get all the way off the road because of the snow and stuff, you know, plowed. And so she was kind of walking down the line, line on the side of the road. Not the spider yellow, I don't remember. But tell me, what is it, Terry? It's white. It's white, okay. No, the yellow's the middle. Gotta make sure I keep the yellow on my left, is what you're talking about. And so I'm coming down that hill, and there she is. And I mean, cars are honking at her, they're swerving around her. So I just kind of got behind her and just followed her, you know, down so that nobody would hit her, you know, coming. And then we kind of got off at right over here. Well, not over here. I'm starting to think more ahead. No, it's a, it looks like it used to be an old car dealership or something. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was
way before my time because it was empty when I got here. But so I kind of pulled over there and kind of talked with her and waited with her and got to meet her. And, you know, I don't want to tell you the whole story, but it ended well. And by that time, somebody had also called the cops, you know. And so the local guy, he came and he was there. We were talking with her. And I said, look, you know, I'll get her down. We'll get her something to eat and stuff. And, you know, we have some funds. The ministerium has some funds for the officers when there's folks coming through town like that to care for. And so he was able to make a draw on that. But you know, I said I can get her over there. He says, okay, you get over there. We'll, you know, talk with her and get her sitting. And I'll go take care of some stuff, and then I'll be back, and I can take her where we can get her some help. But I mean, nothing remarkable. You know, there's no big, huge salvation account. I just sat with her. I prayed with her. I listened to her. You know, and tried to be the presence of Christ for her that day. But it would have been so easy. Just to, you know, that's somebody else's problem. That's somebody else's problem, you know. I know you're not in a position like I am where people expect you to fill that role and expect you to go and do those things. And if you don't, some people get mad, you know, about if you're not able to. But you know, there are moments in our life like that where, and they're always not so obvious, where God will bring into your life an individual, a person, you know. I was thinking of Truett Cathy. I don't know if you know who he is. You guys know who Truett Cathy is? He's the founder of Chick-fil-A. He built that up from a little tiny business, you know, way back, and now it's, you know, nationwide. And one time he was giving a speech to leaders about, he used to speak to a lot of pastors down in Atlanta. Different pastors would bring him in for conferences, and I was down there one time, and you know, a lot of times he said, you know the best time that you can encourage somebody? And he said, you know the best time, you know, the most opportune time that you could step in and give someone encouragement in your life? You know, we all kind of waited for him to give us the answer. He said, it's always. It's always. There's never a time where if you wanted to encourage somebody, they would not receive that well. It's true, isn't it, church? You know, you think, I what difference can I make? Well, there's a lot of difference you can make to the people you encounter as you go through your day. To encourage the people we meet in the marketplace, you know, when we're going down to shop in Du Bois or wherever. And the people that we meet and the encounters that we have just in the commerce level. To be an encourager, not to waste people's time, not to tell them long stories or any of that stuff, but just to, you know, to encourage them, to pray for them. We talked about that. We go guided by the Spirit. Are you listening to the leadings of God in your life? I just want to encourage you to make space for God to show up. If you've prayed for Him to lead you, make space for Him to lead you. And when He does try to lead you, obey Him. Jesus says at the very beginning, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey me. If we ask for God to come into our lives, if we want the power of the Holy Spirit to minister through us and in us, and that's what God wants for you, are you willing to listen and obey when He does show up? When what He wants from you will inconvenience you, will take you off your agenda to get on His agenda? Or do you want to keep living that life where you keep trying to do your things your way and God, we keep asking God to pick up the broken pieces that you leave in your wake? We're guided by the Spirit. And you're not alone. You are strengthened, but in very particular ways. We go strengthened. The verses there, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the Word of God. What's it say? Do you see it in your verse? Boldly is the word. Boldly. Everybody say bold.
Bold.
Bold. Okay, when God showed up in the disciples' lives, guess what they were like after He met them? What were they? We just said it.
Bold.
Let's say it together. They were bold. If you keep asking for God to show up in your life, He's going to show up to help you become bold. That's what He wants. Boldness from you. You're afraid to talk to your coworker. You're afraid to toe the line. You're afraid to live differently than everybody else you work around. Stop it. Grow a spine. Be bold. Be bold for Christ. Stop being ashamed that you know the King of Kings and that He has consecrated you for a holy and blameless life. Stop backing away and making concessions in your life. The Lord loves you. He's with you. He's got your back. He is not going to abandon you now after all that he's been through with you. He's not going to forsake you. He's not going to wreck your business. He's not going to wreck your office. He's not going to wreck your friendships. He wants to live and work in you and through you to radically change the lives of people around you for the sake of this world and this earth. Part of the problems, I think, I'm convinced, and this is just a personal word, that we see in our culture, and especially in the United States today, is that the church has, over the last 50 years, lost its spine. Christians are not living as Christians. They've compromised and compromised, trying to be nice with the world and trying to be nice with the culture. And look at where it's got us. We have a fractured and compromised culture where millions of infants are murdered every year. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen you for this battle, church. Will you let Him? Will you allow Him to bring some boldness into your life? 2 Timothy says, "For the Spirit of God, the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." Power, love, and self-discipline. That's what the Holy Spirit is trying to bring into your life. Power, love, and self-discipline. Will you let it happen? Will you obey Him? Will you let Him lead you? The little encounters that you have, the opportunities you have to serve others, to give words of encouragement, to spread His grace and love, and to proclaim His good news about Jesus Christ, our Savior. Will you take God at His word? Will you accompany Him into that work? When He interrupts your day with somebody in need, will you serve that person in the name of Jesus Christ rather than ignoring Him in the name of your own pursuits? These are the questions we wrestle with. And God says you do not have to wrestle with them alone. I am with you. When you say yes to me, I am with you. I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I will help you at every turn to do what I need you to do. I am in the middle of it, God says. He is the one who's working all around us. Will you just take my hand, He says, and join me in the work I'm doing in this world, in redeeming the lost, in saving those who are broken. That's His most passionate work. That's what He's most passionate about. Throughout Scripture, He tells us over and over again, that's what He's doing. He is the shepherd who leaves us 99 to go find the one this morning somewhere broken in town. That's where He's at. The question for all of us, me, you, all of us together, is will we join Him? Will we step away from our own agendas and join in what He's doing? When Jesus came, those who were religious were furious at Him. Do you hear me, church? You know it's true. The Pharisees, they were furious. Why? Because He spent His time with sinners. Who do you spend your time with, church? The saved or the lost? If you're wondering where a place to start, maybe adjust that percentage a little bit. If right now it's 100% or maybe 95% people that are like you, saved and good and go to church, maybe is there a place in your life you can adjust that? Maybe every once in a while when the weather gets better, you get on the golf course and there's a few guys there. You know. But I'm asking you, spend time with people who need Jesus. And you'll see Jesus show up. Let's go to the table. Lord, we celebrate your work today. We celebrate your work for our sake and for the sake of the world. And so we come before you to your table. And we ask you, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us who are gathered here in your name. And make us be the body of Christ, redeemed by your blood. Bless and pour out your Spirit on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us your body, your blood, that we can go into the world and offer you with all our hearts. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until you come in final victory and we feast at that heavenly banquet. We ask this by your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.